Saturday, 11:05. There's a certain things in life you can and cannot count on. You can count on Doug Segrist joining us each Saturday. So we appreciate you, buddy. Talk show host in Birmingham, ABC 3340 on The Zone. And then don't forget as well, contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Hope you're having a good week, and happy Saturday to you, Doug.
Happy Saturday. What a gorgeous football day, at least down here. It's just incredible.
Yeah, too bad that how many teams now? We've lost 18. Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, it was 10 games either being canceled or postponed due to COVID. Last week, we moved that magic number to 15 games. This week, with Florida State and Clemson being called off and postponed, 7 postponements, 11 cancellations. We are up to 18 games this weekend.
Yeah, and listen, that just reflects what's going on across the country. I mean, numbers are going up everywhere. So it just makes more sense that with these protocols, it's going to be tougher to get the games played. So really not a big surprise.
And let me put that in proper perspective as far as where the numbers are today across the country, COVID-19, as far as the new cases each and every day. Mid-June, we had less than 20,000 a day. Mid-June, less than 20,000. We are 13 times that number per day now than where we were in mid-June.
Well, and you look at some hotspots like North Dakota, it has just slammed them. And their positive numbers are like triple what anywhere else in the country is. So it's tough sledding, and a lot of people just think college football's lost its mind, but they're doing what they need to do, not only protect players, but to protect the community.
One thing, if you want to look at it from a Power 5 conference standpoint, Pac-12 continues to struggle. How about at least the SEC? You know, last week we lost, what, 4 games. At least this week, we've only lost one. Fifth-ranked Texas A&M was supposed to play host to Ole Miss. So that game is postponed, but that's it. We still have these nice other games, 6 other games going on. The interesting thing about today, I think the theme in the SEC would be the fact that the magic number is 3. And we go, what is that number? 3 weeks since Alabama's played, 3 weeks since Auburn has played, 3 weeks since Missouri has played, 3 weeks since LSU has played.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long sabbatical, and you wonder how these teams will come out and play. I don't think it'll impact, for example, Alabama and Auburn, but you don't know about LSU because, their season was already going south. They've been hit with a just pretty damning expose of the culture and the reaction to very serious charges.
Sounds like Baylor and Michigan State all over.
Yeah. So, you don't know how they'll respond. One thing you could say about Coach O in the past is when things got bad, he seemed to right the ship. I'm not sure this ship can be righted today.
2 games inside the SEC just kicked off, LSU at Arkansas, Vanderbilt hosting Florida. How about this? Vanderbilt driving there in Florida's territory, facing a second down at Florida's 36. So the opening drive of this game, 13-17 to go in the first. And Vanderbilt's moving the ball. But then again, though, we are talking about the Florida Gators defense.
And how weird is it to see an SEC game on ABC in the ABC window because of the Florida State Clemson cancellation? Listen, Vanderbilt, they've got a chance to score points today. I mean, Florida does not play defense like we're used to seeing. They're vulnerable if they can just sustain drives. Can we say this every week? But we have also seen Vanderbilt grow offensively. If they can do that and limit Cal Trask opportunities, it can be more respectable.
The interesting thing about Vanderbilt, if you recall, last year they got off to good starts and then would get blown out.
Right.
This year they get off to awful starts and then they make nice comebacks. And it's a team that certainly is showing no signs of giving up. They're still fighting as far as for Coach Mason and that staff. And, although there's still losses, and in fact, that's the part where everybody thinks about first at 0-6, but, they only lose by a touchdown at Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. Last week, they only lose by 3 to a very emotionally charged Kentucky squad.
And it's a very young team, and nobody has gone through more this season in terms of opt-outs, in terms of COVID, than Vanderbilt. Just, you know, depth is a major concern, and they have played through it. And you could argue they've gotten better as the season goes along, you know. And this is a 10-game SEC slate. I mean, this isn't easy for anybody, but when you're up against that, it just makes it doubly hard. So, again, I know there's pressure on Derek Mason, but there are signs of life for this program that are really very promising.
Yeah, the interesting thing, though, Florida not really getting a lot of love nationally. You know, they do have just the one loss, but from a national standpoint, they're like an afterthought almost.
They are, but Kyle Trask is getting a lot of love. So
absolutely.
And kind of the narrative is that he's having to carry this team. Well, this is a pretty good offense. They've got playmakers, got the best tight end in the country. They've got pretty good running backs, but it's kind of based on how he does. And right now, it's just lights out. They're very good. I think this team can threaten Alabama in the SEC championship game, assuming these same two teams meet. And with everything going on, you just don't know what team you're going to see from week to week, but they've been the most consistent.
By the way, I'm going to say it because we may not be able to say this the rest of the afternoon. Vanderbilt has just scored a touchdown to take the lead in this game. Early on, once again, 10:50 to go in the first. But Vanderbilt on top 7-0, and Ken Seals, you know, finding some chemistry there with Chris Pierce Jr. We saw it last week, a 16-yard scoring toss. The extra point once again is good. So it's Vanderbilt on top 7-0. And by the way, if you go back to 1989, Florida, there's a lot of streaks like this in the SEC today, and we've talked about them in previous visits too. But Florida 28-1 against Vanderbilt going back to 1989. But it's Vanderbilt striking first on the opening drive.
Yeah, and what started to happen around 1989? That's about the time, maybe a year before Steve Spurrier came back. So, I mean, Florida's been, you know, as dominant as anybody in the country in that time period. So that's, you know, that's not the greatest parameter for just any problem. Look how Georgia's struggled.
I like this the other game this right now. Still no score in the LSU matchup against Arkansas. Game being played in Fayetteville, 11-12 to go in the first quarter. You know, there's like this game today as far as LSU-Arkansas. Since 1996, so when Arkansas joined the conference back in 92, some of these programs got the broad idea, hey, let's come up with some kind of trophy. Let's come up with a name for the game. Well, they have the Battle of the Golden Boot, and it's a boot-shaped trophy, and they use Arkansas and LSU, the states, and design into that boot. So they're playing for that. So they have something to play for. I didn't really know what to expect with this game because the last time we saw LSU, they were blown out at Auburn on Halloween and then went out and got the program sick. So I called Ron Higgins, our good buddy down in LSU with Tiger Rag Magazine. He says, oh, LSU will be ready to play. I talked to my good buddy David Basil, talk show host in Little Rock. Arkansas will be ready to play. In fact, he even predicted a touchdown victory for Arkansas. So basically, depending on which fan base you're talking about, they expected their teams ready to go this morning in Arkansas.
Well, we know Arkansas is going to be ready to play because this is one of the best turnarounds we've seen. Sam Pittman has totally changed the mindset of this program. They play hard. They play with passion. You know, LSU's the question mark, and I'm not sure I buy what Doc says. That's what everybody calls Ron Higgins, Doc. This is a program in disarray. I mean, you saw that against Auburn. The passion wasn't there. You've seen key players opt out. And now on top of that, you've got all this stuff going on that the football players have. Well, the current football players have nothing to do with. Maybe they rally around that, but it's been a bad look for LSU. And, you know, usually when things go bad, they snowball.
A couple of stats to watch out for as far as LSU. Ed Orgeron, 12-0 after a loss, including 2-0 this year after a loss. In addition, they have not lost. LSU has not lost back-to-back games. You have to go back to 2015, and that was a stretch where they lost three straight. And then finally, the magic number for LSU, a 33-game winning streak when they got the lead at halftime.
They've got a chance to keep this close for a half and then see what happens. But, you know, I think one of the keys, Philippe Franks has really been steady. And this is an Arkansas attack that can hit you both ways. They're not going to put up gaudy numbers, but they're going to move the chains. And, again, they're going to limit your opportunities. This is just good, a good, solid football team that really came out of nowhere.
By the way, Ohio State has taken the lead against Indiana, 12:32 to go in the first quarter, a battle of two teams ranked in the top 10. So it's Ohio State up 7-0, a touchdown pass from Justin Fields to Garrett Wilson, the difference there. And I predicted two upsets as far as top 25 the special Cinderella stories. I predicted this afternoon Cincinnati would go down at Central Florida. Ooh. Cincinnati enters this game ranked 7th. I also predicted Appalachian State would knock off 15th-ranked Coastal Carolina. That game being played at Coastal Carolina. By the way, Coastal Carolina has never beaten Appalachian State. Entering this game, they're 0-6. And, oh, by the way, Appalachian State has the early 7-0 lead with 11:40 to go in the first quarter.
Okay, but did you predict Indiana to pull the upset?
I took the points. I did not predict the upset, okay. But I did take the 21 points. To me, that was just a little too much. Not convinced that Ohio State will blow them out by that kind of number.
I'm not either. And listen, I think Ohio State has the best roster top to bottom in the country, but they haven't played a team with a pulse. You know, maybe Penn State was fairly good at the time, but I think their opponents are combined 3-10 so far, the games they've played. So they just really haven't been tested, and this is a chance for a real test that goes down to the wire.
Alabama, Kentucky. This is the first game that Alabama will take the field this year as the number one ranked team. They got that nod 2 weeks ago, but once again, they have not played for 3 weeks coming into this contest with Kentucky. You know, this series was tight through two games. It dates back to 1917 when it was 1-1. Since then, Alabama 36-1-1. But with that said, too, they've only met just 14 times since 1947.
Yeah, that's really incredible. I got a stat for you, too.
Sure.
Okay, Alabama has started the season 6-0 numerous times. The last time they started the season 6-0 and didn't improve to 7-0 was 1916.
Wow. That's a great stat right there. That's not even
when you look
game
at a record for 10 win seasons. That's incredible.
Yeah, that is a very impressive one. How about this too? Alabama, we mentioned taking the field as the number one team. They've been, you know, you can just throw all these magical numbers out since 2008. But 93 times during all these polls, there's 205 of them to be exact since the start of 2008. Alabama has been the number one team 44.9% of the time during that stretch. Clemson, by the way, 23 times the number one team compared. That's and they're second on that list. Behind that's 70 less weeks behind Alabama in that same kind of time period.
No, that's incredible. And again, the number one ranking 13 consecutive seasons. It's untouchable. It's just been an incredible run. You know, the question today is, does Alabama show rust? And what we've seen from other programs this year is the rust really isn't there. If anything, teams are coming out more, looking more fresh. The problem here is on paper, this looks to be like a huge mismatch, and not because of the Kentucky we've seen. It's the Kentucky they're bringing to Tuscaloosa. You know, 16 players out, 5 starters. I actually thought this would be the biggest challenge to Alabama's streak of, 19 games with 35 straight points because of the Kentucky defense. But I just don't see how a depleted roster is really going to be much of a factor today.
And by the way, that stat you just threw out there, the longest in college football history as well, 19 straight games of scoring 35 or more. Something else to watch out for, and I brought this up in the 10 o'clock hour, Devontae Smith having an outstanding year. He's going to be All-SEC, All-American, and in the end, he will be down the road a college football Hall of Famer. But right now, today, before the game kicks off, he's outside the top 10. Forget about the Alabama career receiving yard list. He's just outside the top 10 as far as the SEC list. By the end of the day, once again, not in the top 10 right now. He could be in third place by the end of the day in the SEC career list if he has 226 yards. So what I mean by that, he needs just 56 to get into the top 10. He has a chance to move up several spots on that list in just today's game alone.
Just a phenomenal career. Really should be playing the NFL right now, but he wanted to improve his draft stock, and everything he's done this year has done just that. No longer in the shadows of Judy and Ruggs. And, I think he's going to be remembered as one of the all-time greats, not only at Alabama, but throughout the SEC.
The Florida Gators have matched Vanderbilt now. And, oh, by the way, if you have to predict how Florida is going to score a first touchdown, I think it's safe to go Kyle Trask touchdown pass because that just happened as Kadarius Toney, a 27-yard reception from Kyle Trask. The extra point is good. So with 7:47 to go in the first quarter over at Vanderbilt, all tied up 7 apiece. The rest of the games in the SEC tonight, starting with a big game down in Auburn, as 23rd-ranked Auburn plays host to Tennessee. Once again, 3 weeks since we've seen the Tigers play, and certainly wasn't expecting that blowout victory over LSU that we got. The question will be, can the Auburn Tigers match that? And then you got a Tennessee program, 2-4, and I bring up the case with Tennessee, and Doug, I'd like to get your thoughts here. So, you know, a month and a half ago, we weren't talking about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and that staff where their jobs were on the line. That's not the case anymore. And with the fact that Will Muschamp was canned last week after South Carolina not showing up in that fourth quarter against Ole Miss, so now all bets are off. And so there's a strong possibility that we could be talking about, look, whoever wins the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game is going to get a win. Otherwise, combine 1-7, that's what I expect to happen with Tennessee and Vanderbilt. If Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt next week, I don't necessarily think that Jeremy Pruitt is back. So today, very important. You know, last time these two teams met, Tennessee upset a ranked Auburn squad. I just don't see that being the case tonight.
I don't either. Again, that layoff, I think that probably impacts Auburn more than anybody just because they were coming off their best win. And up until the LSU game, they had been very average, and we started to see signs of life. Now, the running game has emerged. The passing game is a little more complex now. They're getting support up front. But quietly, this defense has gotten really, really good, more to Auburn standards that we're used to seeing. So this is a team that was playing good football when everything kind of shut down for them. I don't think they're going to have any problem picking back up, and this is a Tennessee team that's in a mess. And if you told me before the year that Jeremy Pruitt would be coaching for his job, I wouldn't have believed it. But, you know, that losing to Vanderbilt this season, even with everything going on, that would be, what, 6 straight losses. That would be intolerable. Now, the question is, do you have the replacement in mind? And you better know that. I think that's part of the reason South Carolina moved so quickly was to start lining people up and with an idea of who they're going to get. You better have a notion, and really more than a notion, you better know for sure that you can improve on the hire because you're going to spend a boatload of money in a very bad economic time.
Well, we saw what, you know, Missouri, their decision, and what, Coach Drinkwith coming from Appalachian State, what he has done for that program. We've seen it with Sam Pittman with Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a little bit of hope thinking about, well, if you make a move, we can certainly change the culture overnight. But you're right. You just never know, especially when you add into the mix boosters behind the scenes, their influence. And so a lot of that goes into that mix as far as the decision making.
If you know for sure you can get Luke Fickell, then, you know, you make the move. But if you don't really know who you're going to get, I think coaches are going to be hesitant to move this year with all the uncertainty.
How about this one more stat before we move on to the other two games? Tennessee, you know, they've got a 4-game losing streak, right? It started with that loss to Georgia, outscored 28-0 in the second half. And the loss to Kentucky, outscored 17-0 in the second half. The loss to Alabama, outscored 20-7 in the second half. And then finally, the loss to Arkansas, outscored 24-0. So during this four-game losing streak for Tennessee, they've been outscored 89-7 in the second half.
Yeah, it's just incredibly bad run. But I also think the last time Tennessee lost five straight was to start the 1988 season. And I remember players being upbeat going into the Alabama game, which was, I think, the fifth straight loss. And they were confident they were about to turn things around. They played Alabama fairly competitively, and then they reeled off six straight wins. And I think they won three straight SEC titles or shared. So it's been done before. I just don't see any signs that this is about to end up. And I don't think it's going to end today for certain.
6:30 tonight in Athens, 13th-ranked Georgia, 25-point favorite at home against Mississippi State. I'm not buying that part of it. I don't know if they.
No.
I can't even give you a list of teams. I think that they could outscore
right.
25 points. One thing is certain, though, when you look at this series, Georgia has controlled it, winning 11 of the last 12, including 10 straight contests, by the way, too, in Athens. I just think it's asking a little bit too much for Mississippi State to go in and win this game. In fact, they have not won in Athens since 1956.
No, again, another program that's in disarray. You know, the one thing you can count on is Mississippi State will play tough defense, but it doesn't mean they can stop, you know, somebody when they're getting no help on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the great JT Daniels experiment starts today. Is he the answer? The guy we saw at USC is the answer, but is he the same after basically losing a year and a half to the injury? We really don't know. I think if he were 100% and playing at that level, we would have already seen him. So I'm a little skeptical. I think this move had to be made, if nothing more than just for an experiment. But I'm not sure this is really the key to what ails Georgia offensively.
By the way, I predicted LSU to win today on the road against Arkansas. They've got the early lead, 7:37 to go in the first quarter, a Cade York 49-yard field goal. Finally, you know, we talked about the Golden Boot, another one of these trophies to play for. You know, Columbia, Missouri, Columbia, South Carolina. What would be more natural than the Mayor's Cup? And that's what we get tonight in Columbia, South Carolina. They've met 10 times, 5-5, dead even. And South Carolina, by the way, 3-1 in the games played in Columbia. So I like this. We'll see how that all plays out. By the way, in the last eight meetings, South Carolina has also a 5-3 edge. What kind of South Carolina team are we going to get tonight without Will Muschamp, who was fired on Sunday?
I think you see one that plays with a purpose. But, you know, nobody likes to see their coach fired, and he was a pretty popular coach. I think they rally around him. I think the problem is that Missouri's been more consistent and has just been a better program for most of 2020. So I expect Missouri to win this, but I think South Carolina will give them fits.
Well, and the problem, though, with Missouri is, like, how'd they look last week? Well, they didn't play. How'd they look 2 weeks ago? Well, they didn't play. They do have a very special running back in Larry Roundtree, who, by the way, needs just 19 rushing yards. He'll be the all-time leading rusher by a non-quarterback in Missouri history. I bring up non-quarterback because they had Brad Smith, a quarterback who did it with his arm and his legs. But that's a game certainly to pay attention to and watch out for. Hey, do me a favor, as always, before we let you go, remind our listeners the best way to keep up with your coverage.
We're on The Zone every Sunday night at 11 o'clock in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And then I'll be writing two columns a day for the Montgomery Advertiser, covering both Alabama and Auburn from a distance. And that's themontgomeryadvertiser.com.
Hey, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Ballpark. Stay safe.
I will. You too as well. Thank you. That's done.